One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
And you're never going to make it back to Bethel until you make some things right with Esau.
Amen.
And so here we come to the crisis. Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother. He commanded him, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob hath saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks, men servants, women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. Now that sounds like grass to me instead of grace. That's just a bunch of blow. That's old Jacob talking now. But I'll guarantee you that kind of talk's not going to get him straight with Esau. You watch and see. And the messenger returned to Jacob saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. And brother, that's some welcome committee. And if you know Esau like I do, I mean, he was a man with a bow and arrow. And he'd raised him up 400 big hillbillies. And I'll guarantee you, they's fighting dudes. And old Esau was a man of the world and the flesh, and he didn't intend to lose no battles. And I'll guarantee you, he just didn't bring them along to chaperone him. He brought them along for real business. And I think he meant to do about the same thing that Laban meant to do. Laban had plotted the death of Jacob to take his daughters back and his grandchildren and all the cattle. And God intercepted his pathway and said, look here, Laban, you don't touch him. Go on down there and tell him goodbye and tell your daughters goodbye and kiss your grandchildren goodbye. You better not touch my Jacob. Now then, and let me say this, a backslider's always in hot water. I mean, if it's not Laban, it's Esau coming. Just put it down. A backslider has more trouble than anybody in town. Sinner doesn't have too much trouble because he's dead. He has a lot, but he don't know it. Devil got him put to sleep. And actually, the devil cried and said, well, listen, boy, I'm having the time of my life. I mean, I don't have anything to be worried about. Well, dead people don't worry about nothing. Boy, if you ever get your eyes open, it'll scare the living daylights out of you.
Amen.
Esau's coming! Jacob said, anybody with him? Yeah, I said, I saw 400 big men coming with him. Oh, me. Jacob's in for it, isn't he? Folks, we're coming right to the place now. If you want to get back to Bethel, you can. This is the one thing that'll get you back to Bethel safely and give you the joy. 400 men can't stop him. Esau can't stop him. Now he goes into the 10th verse, and I believe this is one of the big steps. Let me read the 9th. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. It seems to me that Jacob is trying to live on a secondhand religion. He's talking about the God of somebody else. It looks to me like he needs a real renewing of a personal experience with the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth. Now then, we're coming up a little closer. He's pleading, but first of all, he's confessing his unworthiness, and he's asking for mercy and truth, and that's a great combination. Which thou hast showed unto thy servant for my staff, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two men. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he'll come and smite me. Still old Jacob coming up, isn't it? Notice what he said. Smite me and the mother with the children. Jacob's more worried about me than he is his wife. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Now, I know that he takes care of his family, but he said, I'm worried, I'm afraid. And you know what he did, don't you? He sent 580 choice head of stock and put them in bunches and said, whatever you do, drive this herd in and say some more is a-coming. Oh, listen, Esau, your loving brother sent these. And some more is a-coming. I'm telling you, they're just all back down the road, Esau. And you're going to have you a brand new herd. And these are fine stock that have been raised up yonder in another place. Yes, I will appease him with the present. Verse 20. I will appease him with the present. Dear friends, it's not a matter of appeasing the enemy. It's a matter of pleasing God.
Amen.
And so that night, if you'll notice, he rose up that night. Verse 22. He rose up that night and took his two wives, his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And brother, this is one of the keys to the return trip to Bethel. And Jacob was left alone. Most people are afraid to be by themselves. But there's going to come a time when you're going to be left alone. I know I could talk about the time when you lay on your deathbed and the nurse says, that's all I can do. And the doctor says, just give him this now and keep him as easy. And the family have done all they know to do. But brother, I believe that there's going to be a time of aloneness that you're going to have to face God for yourself. If you become a backslider, there's not anybody on earth can settle that score for you except you and the Lord. And so he said Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Dear friends, this is exactly the way back to Bethel. He got over there by himself before the Lord. I do not know what all Jacob said that night, but my prediction is he confessed his sin. The sins that he'd confessed back down the road, the sin that he'd committed and said, Lord, I want you to have mercy and forgive me. I'm meeting my brother in the morning. The last word I have, the last thing I heard from my brother's mouth is, when my daddy dies, I'll kill Jacob. And brother, they had no telephones and telegrams and no sort of communication service like we have. And there wasn't in the daily newspaper saying that Isaac had died. Esau was coming. And so far as Jacob was concerned, he was coming to carry out the threat that he made before Jacob left home. Now Jacob wrestles, or a man wrestled. Notice what the Bible said. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And in a little while, the Bible said he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. You know what he's doing? He drew a confession out of him. You know what Jacob is? That's the supplanter. If I could put it without too much criticism of Jacob, he was the man that cheated his brother. It was Jacob. Jacob was the man that had gone for 20 years yonder, brought back a wife that stole the idols of her own dad, his own gods. What's your name? He said, Jacob. That old name don't smell too good, does it? That's just the reason people say, what's your name? I never say Lester. I don't like that. Old Lester got in too much trouble. Brother, when they called me Lester, that was my worldly name. That is the name when the dice was in this right hand. A deck of cards is being flipped. Time was being wasted as Lester. It is old Lester that told the smutty jokes and used profanity and acted a fool and became the community clown, old Lester. I don't like the name Lester, but I appreciate Brother Olaf. That's what Jesus did for me. He made me your brother.
Amen.
Put me in a new family.
Yes.
Redeemed my soul and recorded my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Kissed all them ugly sins away. Made me a brother, if I could say it reverently, to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My big brother.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hear me. What's your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Ah, you'll be a child of the king. They'll have a hard time killing the king's son. And Jacob asked him and said, now, what's your name? I don't know what your name is. Ah, that's an interesting question. He said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. You'd say, Brother Wolof, you believe you know who he was? Yeah, I believe I do. I believe I do. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face. That had to be Jesus. Brother, if you want to see God, you're going to have to see Jesus. No man looks on the Father and lives, but you can look on Jesus. That's God's transformer. No man goes out here and catches a hold of one of these big high-powered lines and electrical lines. You have to have a transformer running in here. Jesus is God's transformer.
Amen.
That's the reason Jesus said in the book of John today, he hath seen me, hath seen the Father.
Amen.
Who wrestled with him? It must have been Jesus wrestling with him. And then I'd say another thing. He said he blessed him there. He blessed him. And dear friends, we get our blessings through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes. Now another thing, and I must close. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face. My life is preserved. It's all right now. God put me in his jar of preserves and sealed me up. And as he passed over Peniel or Peniel, the sun rose upon him. I still believe it was Jesus that he saw, because he gave him the light and the sun rose. Oh, that is a blessed sunrise that morning. The Bible said he halted upon his thigh. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. Passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Dear friends, it was a broken and a weak Jacob that went out to meet his brother. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm a strong. Jacob was crippled. He halted on his thigh. And I can see Jacob when he said, Lord, this is it. I've always been able to outsmart my brother Esau. I got his birthright for a mess of pottage. I lied to my old blind daddy on his deathbed to get the blessing. I deceived my dad, but he said, Lord, I've come to the end of myself. I think he limped and maybe had an old walking stick he cut off of a limb of a tree. He said, Lord, I can't run, and I sure can't handle those 400 strong soldiers he's bringing with him. Lord, I commit this case to thee, but you told me to go back to Bethel, and I'm on my way. And if I ever get back to Bethel, you're going to have to handle old Esau. You got to get that bunch of men out of my way, because I'm going back to Bethel. I tell you, God will do just about anything to get you back to Bethel.
Amen.
He'll sweep away the enemies. And friends, not with this many people here in this auditorium and every seat in the balcony filled, would you ever convince me that there's not a bunch of Jacobs here tonight? Mm-hmm. There's a flock of people. You still go to church and you've got a job in the church and you're one of the officials maybe in the church and you never miss a service, but in your heart there's a wandering and a meandering toward the world.
That's right.
Much of your service has become mechanical and superficial and synthetic.
Right.
Your soul is not blessed like it used to be. Even though you're in an unusual church and have an unusual pastor and an unusual opportunity, many of you have just about gotten used to God, and that's a bad thing.
That's right.
Jacob is going to meet his Esau now. Notice what happened. This is a blessed thing. The Bible says Esau ran to meet him. Esau ran to meet him. Brother, God put a sanctified run in an old Esau.
Amen.
He ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. That's a miracle of grace. He lifted up his eyes and saw the women, the children, and said, Who are those with thee? He said, The children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. He said, What meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. Take, I pray thee, Jacob said, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it, and he'll do it every time. The world said, old Esau said, No, sir, I don't want anything you got. And yet he wound up by taking everything Jacob gave him. Jacob's on his way back to Bethel. Laban is behind him. Esau has been met now. And I've got to close with another verse. It's found in another chapter. We'll skip the 34th chapter. But I want you to see, trouble came up in the 34th chapter, you remember? Oh, how much trouble they got into because of Jacob's sons. To me, one of the dirtiest tricks ever pulled in the Bible was pulled in that chapter there. I mean, that's the most unfair warfare I've ever read about, Brother Bob, in my life. And Jacob's sons did it. But they were sort of chips off the old block. Jacob pulled some awful bad things with his own brother. And now then, it looks like Jacob has got some reaping to do. And Jacob said, You've made us stink before the people. You've made us smell bad before all of you. You've done a horrible thing. You've been unfair. And yet, notice, God's still going to get him back to Bethel. I'll close with the 35th chapter. God said to Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, Now watch this, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I'll build us an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress.
Yes.
That's the one I'm going back to. Brother, that's the one we better stay with, the one that helped us when we were in distress. Jacob said, I've been in some hard places and Laban could have killed me, but God wouldn't let him. I met my angry brother Esau. He'd have killed me with 400 soldiers. God wouldn't let him. And he said, I'm going back to the God that protected me.
Amen.
And saw me through my distress. Which God are you going back to tonight? What are you going to do when your trouble comes? Will you have a God at Bethel to return to? And he told his own wives, he said, get up from here and put away your strange gods and be clean and change your garments. And he took their jewelry and ear bobs and the rest of it and stuck them under an oak tree and said, we're going back clean to Bethel.
Amen.
Heap of preaching along there. It could get awful close if we followed that rabbit to the hole where he gets in.
Right.
Oh, the pride and the vanity and the little things that keep us from going back to have sweet communion with God. And church members rock along on the uneven journey of backsliding when you ought to come back to Bethel.
Amen.
And dwell there. He said, put them away and let's be clean. We're going home to God. Would you let me tell a little story that was used? I noticed somebody sent me a clipping from the magazine, one of the Christian magazines. I was in Canton, Ohio many years ago, and one of my friends had home in pigeons. Very interesting things. Home in pigeons. I learned a good deal about the home in pigeons. He had a tremendous pen in the backyard, and it was sort of a hobby. He never, sometimes people, they bet on pigeons, you know, they put them in the races. They turn them loose maybe 500 miles away, and the pigeon that comes in first, of course, wins the money and so forth. But I mean, Vernon, and he never did run them or fly them on Sunday or the Lord's Day, but I mean, Vernon's a dear friend. And so, but he told me, he said, you know, I shipped my pigeons to St. Louis, 500 mile flight. And he said, I have them turned loose, and they tell me exactly. I said, now turn them loose at a certain time, and I time them, and I watch my watch, and I know about how fast they fly, and I know the home in pigeon that's really got a home in heart, he's going to think of one thing, and that's getting home. Got to get home. I can't get home in some farmer's feed patch. I can't stop and take a bath in the water or get a drink of refreshing water. I've got to get home. My owner's waiting for me. He'll be standing in the backyard looking up. I've got to get home. And Vernon said, you know, I've stood there many a time, and I'd say I'll be seeing those old faithful wings come a-flapping in a minute. He said, I've stood in the backyard, and I looked towards St. Louis, and he said, after a while, I see that old weary pigeon come a-flying in. Said, that old pigeon comes in and hits that runway. And that's the only place that old pigeon will ever land, dear friend. Didn't land on the neighbor's house. Might have seen a dozen pigeons over on somebody's housetop, but he said, no, I don't have time to fool with y'all. I'm going home. My master's looking for me. Flying nonstop.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
We're happy that you've joined us today for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and today's sermon entitled, The Trip Everyone Needs to Take. To order this Sonic Etcetera CD, ask for offer number RO2434. RO2434. Let me repeat that again. It's RO2434, The Trip Everyone Needs to Take. Now, in writing, we'd like to have today's date, also the call letters to the radio station that you're listening to. Include $8 for the cassette, $10 for the CD. The Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403 is our address. To order by credit card, 1-800-772-7507. Our special offer for the month is a musical CD entitled Love Grew Where the Blood Fell.
Welcome home, my child, come on in. Welcome home, he'll tell you again. Sheep, he'll welcome you home.
those who love family singing, this is a must. The Lindley family give the gospel collection a special flavor, so write in for this special song selection, which varies from old-time favorites as Neither Do I Condemn Thee to Please Search the Book Again. There are 12 songs in this collection, and I know that you'll want to request those and get a CD, and you can do that by asking for RO number 8 and include $12 to help us with shipping and handling. Now, we accept credit cards, and you can use the toll-free number by dialing 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, the offer is Love Grew When the Blood Fell. Now, the offer number simply is RO8. Include $12 to help with shipping and handling, and write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Or if you'd like to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, hoping that you'll have a wonderful day. And we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.